That this is the monthly CD for December 2022. And then the next monthly CD that you receive will be in January, and it will have jumped up to 23 rather than 22. So I'm here in our session this morning on Sunday morning, and the folks that are with us here are all one body with us and one household with us, for it is the Father's house. And so what we're going to do this morning, as I've just said, and I'll try not to say it over again, is just stand here. And now we always record our sessions here on Sunday morning and other sessions as well. But I wanted to go ahead and do this and record this for the CD as well without having to give you an explanation of it. So I guess I've already done that. So let's just continue. Now, we've been dealing with the kingdom of God. With the kingdom of God. And in dealing with the kingdom of God, we've been dealing with it in relation to our being in Christ. What I want us to talk about this morning and on this particular CD, I want us to talk about our new state of being. Now, the Lord has really dealt with me along this line. Let me The Lord has dealt with me along this line. A state of being. A state of being. When I was talking about that, I was thinking of Paul. Because he makes a lot of statements that would show you that Paul sees himself in Christ. He sees himself as having Christ in him. He doesn't see himself as having a life of his own. In fact, he sees that life is not I, but rather life is Christ living in me. And he says that, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then he says what I feel is something of a state of being. He says, and the life that I now live in the flesh, the life that I have in these earthen vessels, the treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, so that we may come to understand that the power of God is not of the earthen vessel, but it is of God who dwells in us by his Spirit. Or consequently, it is Christ himself who lives in us. And his is the power. His is the power. And but Paul just says all, and particularly to the first and second Corinthians, and just in his, for you guys that actually read these epistles and recognize, you can see that the church to Paul is not somewhere he goes on Sunday morning or any other time and then that's been done. The church to Paul is the result of you in Christ and Christ in you. The church, as Paul says it, is the body of Christ, which is the vessel of his fullness, even the fullness of Christ that filleth all in all. So Paul looks at the church, at the body of Christ, as the place, the vessel, of the life of Christ and of the fullness of that life of Christ. So he lives that way. I mean, it is his constant state of being. It's not something that happens to him once a week or once a day even. Certainly not once a year. It is a condition, more than that. I'll explain it a little better in a minute. But it is a condition of his heart, of his soul, that is, while it is eternal, it is manifested, it is a manifest reality every day, all day, every minute. It's lived on earth as he is in heaven. That is, as he is in Christ. And I thought about that when I was looking last night at Matthew. Let's look at Matthew just for a moment. The Gospel of Matthew. And again, this is how it relates what I'm talking about to the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. His disciples have asked him, how do we pray? What do we pray about? How do we pray? That's what their question was. And they finally ask him. And it's, if you can read this whole area here, but let me see. Yeah, I'd read from verse 8 there at least. Just before that, he tells them, well, the Pharisees always pray so that everybody can see them and everybody can hear what they're saying and everybody thinks highly of them. And Jesus says concerning that, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray. And he's not giving anybody the words to a prayer. It amazes me that, well, how the natural mind just picks up things, whether it's the natural mind of a Christian or the natural mind of a sinner or the natural mind of just a human being, how it distorts everything to its own way of thinking or to how it wants to think. How many of you have heard of the Lord's Prayer? Now, think about that. The Lord's Prayer. How many of you heard the Lord's Prayer? Well, sweetheart, the closest thing that I've ever read to the Lord's Prayer is what he says to the Father in both John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, and in John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, and it hasn't got anything to do with right here. The Lord's Prayer is not something in the Scripture for us to repeat. I mean, it's basically what the Lord is saying here. It's not about you and how much you talk and how loud you speak. And he could say again, all of your putting together your repetition and coming and saying the same thing again and again and again and again. Now, what he's talking about here is a communion with the Father birthed out of a relationship with him in the Son. Now, it'll go to that. You can just read it. But what he says to him is, after this manner, therefore, pray. Again, after this manner, hon, has nothing to do with take these words and repeat them. I mean, it has nothing to do with that. He's not giving them words to say. He is speaking to them of a relationship, of an understanding of a relationship. In the natural, it's the same way with you and I, hon. Everybody in this room and everyone that's listening, everyone, at some point in time, you have people that you talk to. You know that. Sometimes ladies to ladies, men to men, sometimes not, but you know. And you have certain people that you can talk with, and you don't have to have any, you don't have to go sit down and write it out and then take it to that person and then read it off to that person. You don't do that. Now, there may be some people that you have no knowledge of. You don't know who they are. You never talked to them before. Well, you may have to sit down, write them a letter, and then read that to them. But the Lord Jesus is talking about a relationship. A relationship. It's his own relationship with his Father that we have because, well, he's the means by which we have a relationship with God in any order. This is the Lord Jesus who also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There just isn't any other means or any other way of getting there, hon, except in the Son. I am. And that always is very personal. I am that I am. I am that I am. When God spoke to Moses, he addressed himself as the am I am that I am. Which means I am because I am. Jesus gathers that right into himself in his union with his Father, where he says, I am the truth, I am the way. And it doesn't mean I am a truth or a way. You can try it and see how you like it. That's not it. I am the truth. I am the way, the only way. There isn't another one. I am. And it's not something I show you. It's not something that I tell you how to do. It's me. I am the way. Knowing me, you will know the way. Receiving me, believing in me, you will believe in the only way. Well, way to where? Way to a city in the sky? No. Way off to and in this place and that place. No. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's what this prayer is all about. I can't read this prayer and know what it's about and then not think about the things that I just talked to you about. And another reason, because we have in the church, when they've got it on placards in their halls and everywhere, the Lord's Prayer. And I'm thinking, there is no such thing as the Lord's Prayer. That it doesn't exist. I don't care how you take those scriptures and how you have twisted them and how you've misunderstood them. And totally misunderstood how Christ is telling them not to pray, but after this manner, in this manner, in this understanding, in this relationship. Because, as I told you a while ago, there's people you can talk with because of the relationship you have with them, and you don't have to write it down somewhere. You speak to them out of a relationship. Out of a good friendship, even, if that's what it is. But whatever. It's after a manner. And nobody needs to write it down for you. Because if you do, then it isn't worth reading anyway. Well, thy kingdom come. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All right, we're going no further on that because I did that only to show you that the ministry of Christ, and you can read it particularly in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did a great deal of talking to his disciples concerning the kingdom of God because he understood that he was the person, the king, the life and the light of that kingdom. And it was Christ who understood that the kingdom was not a system. Not a social system, but it was a union with himself. And that the power of the kingdom was Christ himself by his Spirit, the Spirit of resurrection, the Spirit of truth and righteousness, the Spirit which was Christ. And he understood that the kingdom would come in great power. Well, then when did the kingdom that he's talking about here, that the kingdom would be made manifest, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven? And honey, it's that away for you and I. What has happened to us? I'll read it to you in a little bit more here. If I don't, then I'm not going to get anywhere. So the kingdom that we've been talking about, I want us to look at as some, okay, let me just say it that way. I want us to look at it as a place where we are in the understanding that that place is Christ himself. I want us to understand that according to Paul's epistles, our salvation is stated as being For when you were dead in sins, God's great love was made manifest in that while you were yet dead in sins, He hath quickened us. Quickened us. That is, made us come to life. He has quickened us. This is in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. You can read it, and it'll show you something that I'm going to be talking about here in just a moment, which is our permanent dwelling place. Our permanent dwelling place. I just don't want believers who are in Christ Jesus, having Christ in them. People who are truly born again Christians, to have and to live in a state of being that is still looking for Christ to come, or that is still looking for the kingdom to come. In so doing, you have misunderstood. You've misunderstood our salvation, just the way many who are in the church world have misunderstood what Jesus is talking about as being the manner of our prayer, not our copy of it. I don't want believers, hon, precious Christian people, to continue in a state of being looking into the future, a state of being hopeful that one day they will see Jesus, a state of being that surely one day the Lord will come. That, darling, please, you know me, I sometimes speak with bad language, but, well, no, I'm talking about language that maybe offends someone. I'm just telling you, sweetheart, that's not only a misunderstanding, it is just a total ignorance of our true state of being. A state that we're in, a state of being that we are waiting. Well, you can wait upon the Lord from an understanding that you are actually in Him and that you are waiting upon Him. In other words, you wait in your heart for Him. There is a waiting. But it's not a waiting for Him to be in you, and it's not a waiting for you to be in Him, and it's not a waiting for our salvation to come and we find ourselves in Christ. It's not waiting for that. But you may be waiting to hear His voice. You may be waiting to see His face. You may be waiting for your heart to be transformed by the knowing of Him. All of those things work within you. All of that is part of the exceedingly great power of His kingdom and of His resurrection. It is the power of the Spirit of God that works in you. All right. I want us to just read something. I'm going to read it right through to you. Our present new state of being in Christ. Our present new state of being in Christ. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:1. Listen to it. Now, what I'm talking to you about is our present new state of being. It's not something we're waiting on. It is a reality that has come, and it needs to possess us in understanding, in comprehension. We need to comprehend where we now are. And I really mean where we are as to the state of our being. All right? Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful, in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who hath, H-A-T-H, who hath, not who's going to do it one day in the sweet by and by. No, honey, just read the verses. I'll tell you where they are, and then you can spend some time in them. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's not some place we're going. Paul is speaking of where we are. He's speaking of a relationship, of a union with the Lord Jesus Christ that is spiritual and that is eternal. Not one that is temporal and is passing away, or one that hasn't happened yet. No, darling, and that's not what I'm talking to us about. I want us to see our true state of being wherever we find ourselves to be. It may determine where you find yourself and where you don't. But whatever it is, it's not something written down as thou shalt and thou shalt not. No, it is a revealed reality, the knowledge of which fills your heart and soul and becomes the understanding of who you are and where you are and what you are. And it'll all come right back to the one who has made all of that unto you, the one who lives in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to hear, help us to know, help us to want to know you, Lord Jesus, in your fullness. Help us to want to understand, Lord, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we, by the Holy Spirit of God, we have been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, that we dwell in you, Lord, for in you the kingdom is now come. And it is in you, Lord Jesus. The kingdom is, and you are in, you have said, Lord, you have said that we shall come to know that you are in your Father, and we know that that is an eternal, never-ending reality with you. But you have also said in the same sentence, Lord, in the same John 14, verse 20, you have said, in that day, King James says at that day. There's no such thing as the word at. No, it's in that day. We'll look at that in a minute concerning our state of being, honey, because that's what I'm talking to you about. And the Lord said, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And we'll come to that in a few moments. I want us to see that as our, not promised, but God-given state of being through our relationship with the indwelling Christ of God. Now, honey, if we haven't come to an understanding of our present state of being, then we don't know where we are, or when we are, or where we're supposed to be going. I mean, we're just kind of wandering around. I know we see things. I know you know what your job is, where you work, and what you do, and people out. Come on. But also know that that's a day-by-day situation, hour-by-hour situation. Night comes, day comes, people come, people go. I know that none of that's eternal. It's what you do. It's what you do. It's what you do well. But then, hun, then it ends. It ends. It ends even if it ends because you just finished it. But it still ends. What I'm telling you is that there is a state of being that does not, will not, cannot end. And it, yes, it does have to do with it, the power of it being the kingdom of God. But you see, the kingdom of God, once again, hon, is in Christ. And there's no way that we can come to be in the kingdom of God except through the way, the truth, and the life, which is Christ Himself. Lord, open our minds, open our eyes. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not heavenly places as off somewhere in the future. No. No, that's simply the reality that we find in Christ. Oh, we don't find it. And we just sit around and talk about it, that surely heaven will come one day. Heaven's already come. And you're in Him. You're in Christ. Quickened together, raised together, seated together in the heavenly places in Christ. When you read these verses, hon, you're reading about a true state of being. Not someplace laying ahead. But I'm asking you again and again, folks, get these sessions every Monday. I'm asking you again and again, is what we are talking about it now, about now, and what we spoke about in November CD and in October CD, and what we talked about when we meet with one another in different meeting places or we talk to one another. Is that state of being a continual reality? Is that the state of being that enables you to be every place else that you are? And that really guides and motivates you in any place that you are. And wherever you're, maybe you're there on a job. Whatever. Whatever. That's not your real state of being. But if you're in Christ, you are there in Christ. But are you in your heart and in your understanding there in a new state of being? Or are you standing there as the person in a grocery store? Are you standing there in the grocery store as a person in Christ? In heaven. In the heavenlies. My Lord. How is it that you're standing there? How is it that we're sitting here in this room, in this building, right now? How is it that we're sitting here? Are we sitting here in Christ? Oh, Lord. I knew I'd start preaching to you about this, and that's okay. That's what I'm going to do. But please read Ephesians 1, 1 through 6. Go ahead and read it. It'll end there, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. Where is it that the Father has accepted you? Then out from what reality do you and I pray? That's what Christ was talking to them about, but He knew they wouldn't understand that. They hadn't come to that reality yet, and so for 3.5 years, though, He talked to them about that reality, and He finally brings them up to where He says, "Be not afraid. I go to prepare a place for you. I will not leave you without a comforter. I will not leave you without a family." That's what it says. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone. Where is He going? He's going to the cross. But by the cross, He's going into death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and then coming in His Spirit to bring the reality that He is, and to bring everything that He has finished by the cross right into those who receive Him. Who receive Him. Paul is saying all of this, you know, when he wrote the letter to the Ephesians. So this is a man who understands that he's in Christ and who understands that Christ is in him, who's writing this letter. And he's writing it to believers who may not understand where they are, though that's where they are. And may not understand that in Christ they have the fullness of all spiritual blessings. Though the treasure of God dwelleth in us, even in our earthen vessels, because Christ Himself is that treasure. He is that treasure. Well, Ephesians 1:18 through 23, "The eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the expectation of His calling, that you may know who are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power in us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come." The better translation on that word is "not only in this age but in all the ages to come. And He hath put all things under His feet, and given Him to be head over all to the church, which is His body, the vessel of Him that filleth all in all." And then Paul goes on, speaking of our union and relationship with Christ, but this is what he says then in the very next chapter of Ephesians, chapter 2, 1 through 8. And again, hon, what are we talking about? What I'm talking about is a new state of being. What Paul was talking about in all of these verses is a new state of being. I keep just wanting to hammer this through to you and I, hon. I want to get it hammered through. I want to get it understood that when I'm reading the Bible, particularly Paul, well, all of it, but when I'm reading here in Paul's epistles, where he is saying that what God hath determined from before the foundation of the world is now come in Christ. And you and I who have come to Christ now dwell in Christ, for he now dwells in us. And then Paul begins to talk about the reality of the greatness of this man, the greatness of this Son of God who lives in me, who lives in you. Oh my, yes, well, the power which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him from among the dead, the glory of Christ is raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father. Where does he now live? You see, he's not hidden somewhere, and one day he's going to come back and show himself to be raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the... No, he's already that. And that's what Paul is saying. He's already that. And not only is he already that, but he is given to be head over all things to his body, the church. That's you, that's me. That we may be the vessel, for the fullness that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. But God is rich in mercy for the great love wherewith he loved, has already loved us, even when we were dead in sin. But he hath quickened us together. He has quickened us together, which here means he hath quickened us as one body with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, that is, as one body, and hath made us set as one body in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that in the endlessness of the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, hon, that he might continue by his own Spirit to reveal the reality of his Son who lives in us, that he might show us. In fact, Jesus says in John 15 and 16 that's what the Spirit of truth does, that the Spirit of truth comes. And when he does, Jesus said, lives in you, he will take of mine and show it unto you. He will glorify me. He will open the eyes of your understanding. He will lead you into all truth. And who would that be except the allness of Christ himself, who is the truth? Sweetheart, your present state of being, your eternal state of being in Christ, is a state of being that is empowered by the one who lives in you, by the one who lives in his body. My word. See, most people talk about the Lord Jesus and his power. And even, well, most of them are talking about in the Christian churches today is about things he did when he walked on earth. And then some going a little beyond that, and they're talking about his power, whereby he was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father. And that is true, and that's what we've been reading here. But, hon, that is the Jesus. The one that walked with Peter, James, John, the one that was there, yes. The one that went to the cross, the one that died, the one that was buried, but then also the one that was raised up out from among the dead so that we may have newness of life. Those who come to him who is the resurrection and the life. Well, hon, the one that I was just describing is the one who is in you, who are born from above, who are born again. That's the one that is in you right now, where you sit right now. And that'll be the one that's in you wherever you find yourself. Whether it's sitting someplace, driving someplace. And I was thinking about this yesterday. And these verses, you can just stay with them. I've got 7 pages of them here. It'll take you all the way through his letter to the Ephesians. And then it'll start with his letter called Colossians. And it'll take you all the way through Colossians. And then it'll probably go to somewhere in the Corinthians, and it'll take you through those letters. And what I want you to be able to do, hon, I want you to just hear what I'm saying. I want you to be able to read that and in your heart of hearts see. I mean, your eyes open and in your heart of hearts you see. My Lord and my God, this is my state of being. Not the surroundings where I'm here in the natural and I'm looking at it and that after a while I'll be in it somewhere else. I want you to be able to look at that and just say, Father, open the eyes of my understanding. I've heard this preached, I've heard this taught. Father, I just, oh Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, even on earth. What do you think he was talking about, hon? He explains all that to his disciples right on down through the end, just before he's taken up. He talks to them about these things. About the prayer to the Father. That the Father would bring you unto me, that I would dwell in you. Look at John 17. That's just what he's talking about. Well, hon, that's come. That has come. That came in its fullness on the day of Pentecost, not because a feast of Israel, a calendar date. No. No, when he came by his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he came to stay. He came eternally. He came that we may know him. He came for our salvation. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And the Spirit of God has been dealing with hearts and lives and souls ever since, and still does so to this day. But the reality of it all that we come to, the reality of it all is found in Christ. Because we are not without a genuine state of being. We're not out here lost somewhere, having no home, having no country, having no father, having no family. No, we're in Christ. When he hath brought many sons unto glory, dwelling in himself. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Our new state of being. Now, let's look at something on that. I want us to first look at John 14:20. I read it to you a while ago, but I've got a purpose for us looking at it. What does it mean to be in Christ? Now, that's the best I can do with it, what I want to talk to you about, however, because we're talking about our state of being. Our state of being. Lord, let that get into our heart and soul. This verse, John 14 and 20, the day he's talking about is the day of the coming of the Spirit of God. That day came, not as a calendar event, that day came as a reality on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, where Jesus told them to go and stay until they receive power from on high. In other words, until the power of my kingdom come. That my kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what took place there at Pentecost. And continues, because it wasn't a one-time thing. No. It became a fulfilled reality in Christ Jesus. A fulfilled reality in Christ Jesus. All right, in verse 20 of John 14, King James says, at. The proper translation of that you can read in any Greek dictionary or whatever, a Bible dictionary, or, you know, looking at the words, the word at is not used in any original. Jesus says, in that day. In that day. He's not talking about then a calendar day or a date. No, in that day. In that day. In that reality. For he is the day and the light of it, and we are called the children of the day. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. I wrote this down, I think last night, to make a difference when. Right beside this while I'm looking at it. I wrote this down. Here is our eternal and very state of being. Look at that. I am in my Father, he said. You'll know that I am in my Father. Hun, would you say that, would you would you say that that is a great state of being? That is a state of being? That is a state of being? It's like John saying, in the beginning was the Word, meaning the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. With God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. Would you say that was a great state of being? Well, he came out from that he might come to the cross, and then he went back. And this is what he's saying. In that day that I am come again to receive you unto myself, to dwell in you that you may dwell in me, you will know that I am in my Father. That I am in my Father. That as I went out from my Father and from heaven, so I have returned. And now I am come in newness, that as I am in my Father, so you are in me, and I am in you. The definition of that, we've read it here before, you probably know it, but the definition of that word in, in the places that I'm reading it. I was very careful to be in those places when I tell you this. But it is a primary preposition denoting fixed position in time, place, or state of being. By implication, it refers to a relationship of rest. A state of being at rest. And being at rest doesn't mean doing nothing. It means having our being in Christ by His eternal Spirit. But that's exactly what it means. A fixed place. You've got to look at John 14. When you do, spend a little time there. Because this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, I will go prepare a place for you. Where is he going to do that? In himself. He's going to prepare himself as the place. That's all in John 14. It's all there. It's all there. We have never in the heart and mind of God been without a place. Even before the foundation of the world, He hath chosen us in the chosen place. He hath chosen us in Christ. We looked at that a while ago. I read a little of it to you. It's in Ephesians, the first chapter. Going right on down through verse 6 and 7. How that He hath from before the foundation of the world chosen us in Christ. And that's not talking about chose us to be, but chose Christ as the place for our state of being. He doesn't receive us anywhere else. He receives us in His Son. And that's why the Son came to the cross to make provisions for our state of being. Listen to it, huh? To make provisions for our state of being. He did that by the cross. And it was before the cross, just a few days before, when He was telling His disciples, I must go away, but I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. Honey, He's talking about His death, His burial, His resurrection. It's all written right there. You don't have to guess about it. It's all written in the Gospel of John, and particularly in chapter 14, 15, 16. Look at chapter 17. Just read it. But we've all read it time and time again. I have, I'm sure you have. But the emphasis that the Spirit of God is working in my heart and has been for some time, and it's brought about by the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is come, the kingdom being on earth as it is in heaven. That is being in you, sweetheart, as it is in Him. Why? Because He is in you and you are in Him. That's where He has made us to be. That's where, by new birth, by our baptism, that's where we have come to be found in Him. A new state of being. Now, the last thing I want to say about that, or the thing that I want to read about that, is in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17. It's about a new creation, huh? A new creation. Verse 14 through 17, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all made dead. And in that He died for all, they which now live by Him, and I'm including a translation here, they who now live by Him should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Now here's my verse. Therefore if any man be in Christ. In Christ. Denoting fixed position. In place, time, state of being, in a relation of rest. My Lord, what a state of being. No wonder Paul spends in his letters, right in his letters, he writes how that he spends continual time in praying for them who are in Christ, that they will come to comprehend what that means, and that it will become the effectual work of the Holy Spirit in their heart and soul, a transfiguring of the soul by continually taking that which is Christ and showing it unto our heart, our soul, by continually enlightening the eyes of our understanding. Paul prays for them. Why? Because he knows that we are in Christ. He knew he was in Christ. He knew Christ was in him. And that's the gospel he preaches. His desire for those to whom he preaches and those that have actually come to the Lord and exhibited that they have been born from above, but have in some cases little or no understanding of their state of being. Little or no understanding that they are in Christ, even as he is dwelling in them. So he prays for that continually. Here he says, therefore, if any man, he's a new creation, old things are passed away. And the actual ending of that verse should be, behold, the new is come. Christ is the new, hon, and he is come. My. A new creation. The new creation is Christ all and in all. And by the way, the new man is Christ himself. And we, dear friends, are the one body of the one new man. The new creation. Christ all and in all. All right, my time coming to close on this CD, folks, that you guys have just received. So I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you receiving these monthly lessons. For you receive them because you have requested so. And it's like being with you in your living room or with you in your automobile. And I've gotten letters from some of you and even phone calls from your automobile saying, hey, brother, I just wanted you to know that what you said is true. You're right here with me in my automobile. And that's a thrill. Because there is a closeness in our sharing Christ one with another. And I appreciate this opportunity of being able to do that with you. So the Lord bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you for helping us continue to do what we're doing. Thank you for your kind support. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. For there you are reaching out beyond yourself, as we all must do, into the Lord's body and around the world. So may the Lord richly bless you, hon, in every way that you have been a blessing to us. Not only to Janie and I, but to CMI, Bible Research Center, where I'm sitting right now with folks that are here laying down their lives daily in the ministry of Christ here at the Research Center and here at this fellowship. And I thank you who helps support us here and who sends support for CMI, because CMI, hon, along with the ministry that is here, the ministry that is sitting in this room with me today and are making it possible for me to do what I'm doing right here today. The ministry that is here, reaching out beyond this place, throughout the Lord's body and around the world. And I want you to know that I appreciate every one of you who are able to support those ministries that are here in CMI. May the Lord richly bless you. Sweetheart, I long to see you. I saw a number of you here in November up in Culpeper and also there in Tazewell and in Virginia. I saw a number of you folks that are listening to this right now. And I trust that we will continue to be able to do that in the days yet ahead and in the months yet ahead. So, once again, I say the Lord richly bless you. And we'll continue this very session in January, because there's a number of things with regard to this very session that I want to look at in our next lesson together. Lord bless. Amen. Now I realize I went through 60 minutes, but I didn't come to the end of this. I didn't come to the end of the CD minutes. I haven't come to 70 minutes yet. So we'll have plenty of room on that CD.